You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, try to imagine for a moment being physically blind. That would mean that you were uncertain about every step that you took. You would be unable to do many basic things that we all take for granted, and you would be very dependent upon other people. That would be a sad situation, a difficult way to live, but imagine how much worse it would be, though, to not be able to see the terrible reality of our sins and the fact that our sins condemn us forever, and then not be able to see the good news of the gospel, knowing that as bad as our sin is, the gospel is even stronger, and the gospel is able to overcome every sin and to make us alive and new and saved in Jesus Christ. As we take a look at today's epistle reading in 2 Corinthians, it is a difficult reading. So I'm not going to get into all the details of it, but we're going to look at it on the topic of law and gospel. So law and gospel are very important. So the truth of God's law, that condemns us if we see it rightly. The truth of God's gospel saves us when we see it rightly. So let's focus on those things today. May God impress them upon our hearts and minds. You might even notice on the sermon copy, if you pick one up later, you'll see a little image there, and it says, it's a quote from Luther. It says, "The law discovers the disease, the gospel gives the remedy." So how does a doctor function? A doctor has to examine you to find out what's wrong, and then he gives you the remedy. The law does that with our hearts, examines us, finds out what's wrong with us, and then the gospel gives the remedy, a great way to look at it. As we get into 2 Corinthians, keep in mind here, we're going to hear the word "we" come up a number of times. So this particular letter, it's written both by Paul and by Timothy working together, and they're writing to the Christians living in Corinth. So when you hear "we," that's Paul and Timothy. Picking up in verse 12, the Bible says, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts." So we're talking here about a spiritual blindness. We know how difficult physical blindness is, so imagine things spiritually in the same way. It's hard to understand, but hopefully the physical part helps a little bit. Let's go back to the text here for a moment. So he talked about having a hope. What was the hope that he had? The hope is a certainty that in Christ there is forgiveness. That was the blessed hope that God had blessed them with. It also talked there a little bit about Moses making the connection with how the glory on his face, it was fading. So when it comes to the law, it's an important thing, but it's a fading thing. The law can't save anyone, but it is important, though. So making the comparison there between the fading glory on the face of Moses and also God's law. And then it talked in here about the old covenant. That is a very rare reference in the Bible to the old covenant. What does that really mean? That would be the law and the promises of God expressed through the books of Moses. So when we talk about the books of Moses, we're talking about the first five books of the Bible. So in those books, there is a lot of law, but there is also gospel as well, how God is at work in order to eventually send his son, the promised Messiah, and take away the sin of the world. So that's a tough section there. Let's focus the whole section I just read down to one question. What was the wrong view of God's law that many had back at the time of Paul? What was the wrong view they had? Let me answer that question by looking at a quote here out of our Lutheran Confessions, out of the Formula of Concord. It says, "They did not learn from the law to see their sins correctly. They either became bold hypocrites who swell with the opinion of their own righteousness like the Pharisees, or they despair like Judas." What can we say about the Pharisees? They wrongly thought they were good enough. That's what I thought years ago. I didn't think I was that good or anything, but I kind of thought, well, I think I'm good enough. I'm hoping I'm good enough. That's how the Pharisees were too. It's easy to fall into that today. What about Judas? What was wrong with his way of looking at things? He knew he had betrayed the Christ, and he thought what he had done was so bad he could never be forgiven. So some people think they're good enough. Other people think they're so bad they're a lost cause. In both ways, that is a wrong viewpoint. Going on in the text, picking up in verse 16, it says, "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Again, some tough stuff. Let's focus on one question again. Why do some turn to the Lord? Because it began by saying, "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed." So why is it that some turn to the Lord, but many do not turn to the Lord? No one has the ability to turn to the Lord on his own. It's something that God has to do. So how does God do that work? God does that work through his word, and he does that work as the Holy Spirit is working through his word. So when people don't know the Lord, what do they need? They need to get into the Word of God. They need to hear the Word of God. And when that happens, then the Holy Spirit has opportunity to work through that Word, to work upon their hearts, and to remove the spiritual blindness. It also said in there that we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So think about these three steps. First of all, we were dead in our sins, and then by the work of the Holy Spirit, step two, we were alive in Christ, and then step three, now the Holy Spirit is empowering us and moving us to live for Christ and to glorify God in our lives. So in other words, being made alive in Christ, now we are to move forward to be more and more like Christ and give more and more glory to God. Now, is it always that way? It would be wonderful if our lives were like this chart or a graph, if you will, and the line was just going up and up and up and up until we were finally with God forever. But it doesn't work that way, does it? Isn't it more like a roller coaster ride in a sense? So that's more of the reality of it. God doesn't want it to be that way. It is. But when we are on the downhill side, what is the good news? There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So the joy of that forgiveness makes us willing to say, okay, I'm going to dust myself off. I'm going to get back on the ride. And now we're going back up the hill. So he wants us to look at it in that way. We've been focusing primarily on the law so far. Let's focus now on the gospel. Let's continue in the text. We're now in chapter 4, right at the beginning of the chapter. The letter continues, "Therefore, Having this gospel ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So they wrote that we do not lose heart. So they were looking at this gospel ministry that they had been given, and they knew that God had given it to them. And they knew that God would sustain them in that ministry, and they didn't have to worry. They knew that it was in God's hands. It also said that they do not tamper with the word of God. That means they don't falsify the word of God. In other words, they don't look into the Bible and find something they don't like and then change it. But rather, they're looking into the Bible, they're taking it exactly what God has said, no changing at all as they apply it to themselves, as they preach it and teach it to others. So that is how Paul was proceeding in his ministry. What kind of a change did the gospel work in him? Think about Paul when he used to go by the name Saul. So he was very opposed to the followers of Jesus Christ. He thought that was all the wrong teaching, and he had orders from the government to go from town to town to find these followers of Jesus Christ, to arrest them, to bind them, to bring them back in order to imprison them so that they would be punished, and in some cases, so they would be killed. So he was extremely opposed to Jesus Christ. However, though, what happened? Well, of course, in his case, it was a very special thing. Christ himself appeared to him, but we know the Holy Spirit was at work too, and Paul was converted by the very power of God. So what were the results, though? The results were that Paul was now determined by the power of the Holy Spirit to put away all sin in his life. He was determined to be completely honest with the word of God, not only in applying it to himself, but in proclaiming it to others. And he was also determined to go forward in his life as best he could with a clear conscience. So quite a radical change in his life from arresting and killing Christians and then becoming a very devoted follower of Jesus Christ. What about us? When we feel like we're a Saul, when we feel like we are opposing God, when we feel like we have fallen short, when we know that we're not in a good position with God, what does God call us to do? The Holy Spirit is working upon us to make us sorry. The Holy Spirit is working upon us to point us back to the cross again. And the Holy Spirit is saying, somewhat like Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, he's saying to us, go and sin no more. Can we do that perfectly? We can't. But he wants that to be our attitude, that now we want to go in that direction. Going on in the text, we pick up in verse 3, it says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So the gospel can sometimes be veiled or covered or concealed or hidden. But we wouldn't know, though, would we? So when we are physically blind, we can't see what's going on. We don't know what's going on. We're out of it. Many people are spiritually out of it. They don't know their sins are a bad thing. They don't know about the work of Jesus Christ. Because we know, we are blessed. We are to be thankful. And because we know, God wants us to have compassion on others and share these things with them. The Bible does make it clear that the gospel is the power of God for salvation, and yet it's said here in the text that the God of this world, who is that? The God of this world is Satan, and what has he done? He has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So they are in grave trouble. What is the answer? Jesus said in John 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How is that going to come about? The way it's going to come about is people have to have the truth, and that would be God's holy word. And then upon hearing it or reading it, the Holy Spirit is at work to make that truth known to them, to remove the veil, to show them that truth, and to transform them through that truth. Regarding people being in a situation of spiritual blindness, the ones who are blind regarding the law, they either think they're good enough or they think they're so bad God can't help them. So that would be the Pharisees and Judas, like mentioned earlier. Now, what about with the gospel? How are people blinded to the gospel? Some people are completely rejecting Jesus to be the Son of God. They might say, oh yeah, Jesus, he's a great guy, miracle worker, great teacher, and all these kinds of things, but they're falling short of saying he is God in human flesh. Unless he is God in human flesh, he cannot benefit anyone. He cannot even benefit himself. So he has to be God in human flesh. Again, though, many people are blinded to that. What is maybe the biggest way that people are in trouble when it comes to the gospel? So maybe people are there admitting, yes, I have messed up in countless ways. I know I have. And then they're looking at God and saying, God is a good God. Look at the good world he made. Look at, I have food, clothing, and shelter. God is a good God. Then they know something about Jesus. Oh, God sent Jesus. So they have all of that in place. But the problem is, though, they think that in order to be with God, either in part or in full, they have to do something in order to get into heaven. So when they think that either in part or in full, they have to do it, that means that they are rejecting Jesus Christ in part or in full. So again, if they're doing that, there is no salvation. These are all ways that people are mixed up about law and gospel. Let me finish the text in this way. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, Paul wrote, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have a reference there in the text to when God said on day number one, let there be light, and there was light. So as God spoke it, and then the physical light appeared, so God is the one who has promised his Son, and then in time he sent his Son, and now he's working through law and gospel to show us our need and then to give us that faith in Jesus Christ. Let's again be thankful that we have seen the light, that we know the truth. We know we're in trouble on one hand, but on the other hand, we know we are saved. These are such wonderful things, and then may that joy cause us to somehow, some way, reach out to someone else with the truth of God's word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, your law and gospel are so important, and yet we know in this world so often misunderstood. We pray even now for us and for others that you would crush us with the full weight of your law, and then that you would lift us up with the full sweetness of your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.